from the Word of God, Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning of verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one in those days of any of the things they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who often endured long receiving lines at the White House, frequently complained, we're told, that no one really paid any attention to what he said. The story is told, and I cannot verify its veracity, that one day during a reception, he decided to try an experiment. To each person who came down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous! Keep up the good work! We're proud of you! God bless you, sir!" It was not until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that his words were actually heard. Not knowing what to say, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." Listening is such an integral part of the communication process. You'd think we'd get it. Apparently we don't. We don't do it very well. The auditory apparatus is not at all at fault. We hear the sounds others make, yet we often refuse to grant them meaning, or we ignore the meaning we receive and go on. Parents, children, spouses, co-workers, employers, even preachers all complain that no one listens to them. What's going on? Some specialists urge that we try to listen between the lines, that is, that we attempt to hear the subtext, the intention behind the actual oral communication. This requires enormous discipline, and if we're not accustomed to active living or listening, or deep listening, as some experts call it, we're going to fail. Good listeners, say those who study listening, respect others and value their opinions. They try to stay inquisitive about each other, remembering that we usually can learn from others even if we don't agree with what they're saying. Good listeners take it slow and easy. They don't jump to conclusions or race ahead in the conversation. They stay in the moment and prepare to respond thoughtfully. Conversation is vital in the human community. That's why books have been written on the art of listening and why college classes in conflict resolution include sections on listening. It's the best way we stay linked to each other and learn how others as well as ourselves think and learn about ourselves as well as others. Of course, it can get sloppy and chaotic at times. Conversation doesn't just happen in nice, logical circles of understanding, there is often a lot of sorting out to do. I don't know where she found it, but years ago my mom sent me a clipping which talks about listening. What you are doing speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you are saying. Most of us are not good listeners. What we have to say is simply too important to listen to anyone else. There are different kinds of listening. There is the listening of criticism. I heard of a man who took a notebook to church with him. Nothing wrong with that. Lots of folks take notes in church. There's at least one notebook in use this morning here in this house. But this man, however, recorded only the mistakes. You could probably fill a notebook with my mistakes. There is the listening of resentment. Discipline a child, and he may listen with resentment. Let your boss reprimand you, and you may listen with resentment. There is the listening of superiority. This is a haughty listening which thinks, she can teach me nothing. I am certainly more qualified than she. There is the listening of indifference. This type of listening may not be callous. It may simply be careless. It's easy to listen to a child that way. You look directly at her, but you realize later you cannot recall a single word of the conversation. There is the listening of a man who listens only because for the moment he cannot get the chance to speak. He is the poorest listener of all. It is so amazing that when God, in our text today, takes a moment to legitimize the ministry of Jesus, of all the things God could have said, he mentions listening. This is my son. Listen up. It's easy not to listen to God because he almost always speaks in soft voices. We expect to hear him in the unusual. He communicates by the ordinary. You remember CBS News correspondent Charles Kuralt, who had the program On the Road? He was on the road for more than 20 years, and his stories gave audiences a look at some very special people. One of those was a Catholic priest named Father Ron. Father Ron lived in a one-room cabin on a glacier on what was then called Mount McKinley, today is Mount Denali. He had journeyed to a place of solitude for retreat. When the afternoon sun made the snow mushy and thus limited the amount of weight his plane could carry off of Ruth Glacier, Kuralt and his cameraman agreed to stay behind until morning. Father Ron met them carrying a staff and looking very much like a biblical prophet. He helped them carry their belongings into the cabin and then announced the menu tonight is stew. He paused and added, that's the menu every night. Over 10 bowls of stew, Charles Kuralt commented on the benefits of the priest retreat. Yes, Father Ron replied, it offers communion with God, but about this time of day, you need human communion. God listens well, but he doesn't talk much. The author of Psalm 46 is not named. We assume it was David. Regardless of who penned the words, it echoes a man who spoke from personal experience. God is our refuge and strength, he wrote, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. The psalm continues on with heathen raging and kingdoms moving and earth melting. And the writer sees God breaking weapons of war, bows, cutting spears and burning chariots. Reading his words is like sitting in the percussion section of an orchestra, right in front of the cymbals and the bass drum. Then, without warning, the psalm is as quiet as an Alaskan glacier. Be still, the psalm whispers, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then with great relief, the psalmist adds, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God listens well, Father Ron said, but he doesn't talk much. Is there anything more difficult than sitting silently and listening for the voice of God? Elijah was God's man. 9 centuries before Jesus was born, in one of the most dramatic scenes in the Bible, Elijah called a wicked king and his 850 heathen prophets to a showdown. In spectacular fashion, God answered with fire and the false religion was overthrown. Yet the next day, Elijah became afraid and fled for his life. Elijah hid in a cave in complete solitude. Then a powerful wind tore through the mountains, tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. But the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. Next came an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. Then a raging firestorm swept the mountain, but again, God was not in the fire. Finally, there was a still, small voice, a gentle whisper, and it was the Lord. We're not comfortable with being quiet. That is why when a worship leader calls for silent prayer, it never lasts for more than a few seconds. Father Ron is right. God listens well, but he doesn't talk much. There's no point, then, in asking the Lord to do something for us if we are not willing to listen quietly for his answer. Paul told the Ephesian Christians, pray at all times in the Spirit. We must keep in touch with the one who can help us, even if we become frightened and discouraged and completely faithless. We must speak to him and listen for his voice. I killed my grandmother this morning. How do you respond when you hear the unexpected? God says, be still and know that I am God. If you don't hear anything, keep listening. Amen.